some help here. What time do you need to leave here?
We're not fine.
Yeah. 9:40? Okay. So let's work on 9:30. give a preacher's how the preachers always say, I'm about to close, and it's half an hour later that they close. So we'll say 9:30, and that gives me an hour to work with. This is going to be a practical session, all right? And it's going to be split into two sessions. So for the first half hour, we're going to concentrate on actually learning how to use our mouths to renew ourselves, all right? To renew our minds, to think aright concerning the things that we have learned. We've seen the importance of the heart, all right? We've seen the impact that the heart has had. And, you know, every time I do this, Georgie, now I'll think about what you just said. I only have three pictures. This broken part of ourselves, all right, whether it be the will or the emotions or the intellect, whatever area it is that then affects how we think and how we act, needs to change. And the way it changes is by a renewing process. So I'm going to give you some very practical things, and then all of us are going to do something about it, all right? So, finish the croissant quickly. Sorry. I'm sorry. So, Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. All right? And I pictured this, all right? So, here you go, just for Georgie's benefit. I'm actually going to draw a little picture. All right. Once we get the intellect working properly, when we get the mind thinking right, it will pull the will and the emotions. All right? Does that make sense? And everything will start working as it should do. This is, remember my interpretation. It's not, things don't work quite like this in practice, but let's just use it as an illustration to help us. All right? Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. You know, it is almost impossible for you to do anything if you are double-minded. All right? It's impossible for you to give up a habit if you are double-minded about that habit. You have to be completely settled. I'm sorry, the writing is terrible, but you know. Elizabeth is helping me with my handwriting. She's not here to see it. I would have got her to write it. But you understand that that's the issue, all right? That he is trying to work with us in that process. Proverbs chapter 4, all right? We're going to read from verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. All right? This is the process. And actually, when he says they are health to all their flesh, some translations put it like this, they are medicine. Mm-hmm. Imagine taking, Dr. Minnie here will prescribe medication, and she'll say, take this 2 times a day. All right? What we're going to do is apply the medicine of the word. All right? What's fascinating about this is you can never overdose on the medication. All right? It has no bad side effects. It only has good side effects. All right? And you can have any number of the doses that you want. But if you don't have a practice of using it, it won't be imprinted in your heart. Is that fair enough? We learned that what you're filled with is what you will speak. All right? And as an illustration, there was a time in my life when I had to really work with the word a lot. And as I did so, what started to happen was that, you know, George and I have these discussions about, you know, sleep. And there are times when I just wake up in the middle of the night and I automatically find myself speaking out scripture. Sometimes even without thinking about it, without my brain engaging, I'm speaking out the word, all right? There's a very interesting story of a man that is an elder of a church that, he was an elder of a church of a chap who's just recently joined our church. And he loved this man, and he used to cherish the teachings and the training that man gave him. But as he grew older, this man got Alzheimer's, all right? And the pastor of the church would visit him, and just before that man passed away, he spent some time with him, and he sat there, and he saw him muttering. And he leaned in, because he couldn't, you know, it wasn't intelligent speech that he would have had with him. But as he leaned in to listen, the older man was speaking scriptures. Because it had been imprinted into his way. All right? James chapter 3, I'm just going to make a reference to it. All right? In James chapter 3, verses 2 to 5, he uses two pictures, one of a horse with a bridle, and the other with the ship and rudder. Thank you. That steers the course of your life. All right? And he shows you the positive and the negative. All right? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can either speak death into a situation that should have life, or you can speak death into a situation that should be dying. You can speak life into a situation that should be dead, all right? Or you can speak life into a situation that is dying that should come back to life. Does that make sense? It's your choice, what you put in your mouth. And it is so very important. Then Ephesians chapter 5, and when we come to the second part of the session, this is what we're going to focus on, all right? He says, therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine, will give light to you. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Now, can I just say that very often people read out of context, and this is one of those places, and my question is his reference to drinking because he wanted to deal with the alcoholics? Or was he talking about something to help them understand what intoxication does? When you're intoxicated with the world, you become sleepy, you become drowsy, all right? And when you are drowsy, you are unaware of what's happening. When you are drunk with wine, you become insensitive to certain things, all right? And you become more sensitive to other things. you know, a drunkard, you know, some people take alcohol to loosen their tongue so they can speak things that they're not, you know, that they shouldn't be saying. And what happens then is that they start shouting and screaming stuff that they should never be saying. There are some of the folk that I have dealt with that I almost immediately know when they are on the bottle. They'll call me at the wrong time of the night. They'll be talking at the top of their voices, and they'll say all sorts of weird and wacky things. When we are intoxicated with the world, we will say what the world says. We will never wonder whether what we are saying is accurate or not. We'll be completely insensitive to what God says. We'll deal with this some more when we come to the second session. But it's vitally important. All right, so let's start. All right, ready? Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." We're renewing our mind. All right? Is that fair enough? So you're going to have to start in that place where you are resetting your processes. All right? You're resetting your soul and teaching your soul how to operate. Jesus gave us two issues. All right? He says, this place that you're in is unbelief. All right? And then he said, it comes out by prayer and fasting. What is the it that comes out by prayer and fasting? Not the demon. The demon was dealt with by the work of the cross. Amen? You don't need prayer and fasting on top of the work of the cross to get the demon out. You know, there's a little demon and then there's the big, strong demon. And I want to say the blood of Jesus is efficacious for everything. If you don't accept that, you will be wasting your time. Demons love attention. So you could be running around dealing with a demon saying, come out, wherever you are. I have this picture of, you know, some people trying to cast out demons were in the old days, and this is the 70s, where these guys were running around this person who was demon possessed, saying, come out wherever you are. Or they're, you know, saying, what's your name? What's your name? You know, and the demon will give you any name he wants because he's a liar. Come on. Don't waste your time. Start worshiping. Let the Holy Spirit deal with the demon. He'll come out. As soon as the Holy Spirit manifests, he will come. Because he cannot be in the same room. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So, the issues are clearly what you fill yourself with. All right? Thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. All right? So what do we do? Practically speaking, what do? We start speaking. All right, let's start with the place where you are pulled down. You're slightly depressed, all right, and it's a tough old slog. All right, have you ever been in that place? You know, when the devil has a go at you, and you know you've done something wrong, and you're walking down the road like this, you know, feeling like everything is the worst. Yes, no. I remember feeling like that, being in that situation, and then being reminded of this psalm, all right? Psalm 42. He says, verse 5, "Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him." The devil hates praise. And the devil hates you quoting scripture, all right? He does not want you to do this. So what do you do? What do you practically do? You start by speaking to your soul. Soul, why are you downcast? That's what the psalmist is doing, all right? So who's the soul? Whose soul are we talking about? So, Warren, come on. come here, come, quick. We're going to start working. I told you it'll be practical. All right? So we're going to use Warren as an example, and then I'm going to get everybody else to start doing it. All right? So Warren is speaking to his soul. He's saying, Warren, why are you downcast, O my soul?
Why are you downcast, my soul?
Hope in God, for I shall yet again praise him.
Hope in God, for I shall yet again praise you.
Okay, now you do this once, and you feel like nothing's happened. But you have to keep doing it. You are retraining your soul. You're renewing your mind. Is that right? So you speak to your soul. All right, are we ready? Everybody ready to start speaking to your soul? All right, you have to, why don't you just stay there for a moment? All right, everybody else, you start speaking. This has to be practical, and it involves you speaking to your soul. You don't have to do anything physically so much, but you have to start speaking. Talk to your soul that's in there and say, Zach, come on. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All right, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. Now you have to speak to yourself. All right. If you want, if it's a help to you, close your eyes, but speak to your soul. All right? Hope in God. Zach, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, for he is the help of my countenance. Do you follow what I'm saying to you? Now, when you're doing that, you may start in that place of depression, but gradually you'll find yourself being built up. Because you are renewing your mind, all right? And then at a certain point, you come to the realization that all sorts of things that the devil said to you were not true. I remember walking down the street, and I was like this, and I had all sorts of things go wrong, and the devil said, I'm going to kill you. So I was walking down like this, and I started saying, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. And then it dawned on me that he could not kill me. And I stopped and I said, okay, go ahead. Kill me right now. Go on. If you are so powerful, here I am. Kill me right now. And that thing left me and I got so angry. I got so angry and I said, no, you will never do this again. And I began to see what fear allowed in. Going back to this picture, we allow fear in, and those emotions start to control how you behave. They recreate things into your physical being, and you're all ready to think that you're all dead. I remember being on a train thinking, oh, my head is hurting so much. Maybe this is it. And then God reminded me that I bumped my head on something the day before, and I thought, oh, that was what it was. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, what if you didn't bonk your head, but you have a physical emotion? Let's go back to the Proverbs, all right? We're taking the medicine of the word, all right? Is that fine? Are you working with me? Turn to your Bibles. Get the book of Proverbs out. Derek Prince has a little book called, you can go, thank you very much. You can, the medication, all right, he calls it a little bottle of I've forgotten what it's called now, but he talks about the medicine of his word, all right, and he used it like a doctor would have prescribed medication. He had a medical condition that was incurable, that they couldn't do anything about. And all he did was speak the word out every single day, three times a day, on a regular basis. All right? So, verse 20. My son, give attention. It's Proverbs chapter 4. All right? My son, give attention to my words. All right? You've got it in your Bible. You're going to have to do it yourself. All right? I've shown you what to do. So, Zach, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let it depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Can you see this? So you're saying, your words, Lord God, are life to my body and health. Sorry, life to all that find them and health to all my body. I am placing the medicine of your word. I am being renewed in my mind. I am not thinking like a sick person. I'm thinking like a healthy person. I'm getting the medicine from the very doctor who is my healer. And he is changing the way I operate. All right? Does that make sense? It involves your mouth and it involves your heart. You are retraining it. All right? Thy word have I hid in my heart. We read it earlier on, Psalm 119. All right? That I might not sin against you. If you have a habit that is, you know, a problem in your life, now, I, Father God, I hide your word in my heart and I retrain my whole being to not think in sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm storing your word. Now, as you do this, it's not a one-off thing. Please remember, you're doing this regularly, all right? And as you keep doing it, you will find yourself doing it when you least expect it. And then you'll find you're not concerned about what other people think. I remember being in a loo once, a toilet. And I was so filled, you know, and I was speaking out aloud, and then I suddenly realized there were other people around. And then I thought, oh, hang it. I'm still going to be filled with the word. I really don't care now. You know, I am more interested in being involved with his word than I'm interested in what they think about me. I need him. And I need his word. In the middle of the night, thy word have I hid in my heart. I resist this thing. How do I resist it? The scriptures say, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. You are actively putting the word into your being. You're filling yourself up. We heard this, didn't we? All right. If you're not filled, it's not going to overflow. You have to fill it, fill your heart with it, and you have to do so with your mouth. Speak it out. I am who you say I am. I can do what you tell me to do. I've been made for a time like this. You have made me more than a conqueror. You have made me a righteous person. Now, you know what? I can say it as much as I want to, but it's going to have only impact when you start saying it, all right? So you need to say it, all right? I am who you say I am. I can do what you tell me to do. I am a righteous person. I have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. I am a blessed man or a woman. All right? Does that make sense? Now, you know, sometimes we do this and we feel like we're just doing things by rote. I remember talking to an elderly gentleman about this. And he said, oh, that's just rote. And I tried to help him see this. It goes beyond rote. It goes beyond that place where you're just doing something for the sake of it. You are retraining your mind. You are thinking like a righteous person. You are thinking like a blessed person. I am not under a curse. I am under a blessing. Does that make sense? I'm filling myself with the truth of God's word. I'm not going to listen to what the world tells me I am like. All right. So when the world says, you're never going to succeed in life, you say, no, no, no. I'm more than a conqueror. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says what? There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does it go on to say? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So what does the law of sin and death do? All right. Any law is a law because it is applied right across the board. Is that right? Otherwise, it's not a law. It's a. You guys are. What am I talking to you guys for? You're all engineers and people like this. You understand this stuff. Is that right? It's consistent right the way through. That law of sin and death applies to everybody who is under death, who's been involved with sin. It means that whatever they do, their propensity to put their foot onto the doggy poo will always be there. No matter what they do, their foot is going to go onto it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? They may be intended to walk this way, but eventually their foot will land on the thing that they shouldn't walk on. Why? Because the law of sin and death, you will always end up in some form of sin and death. But when Jesus has broken that from you, that is no longer the case. So the law of sin and death does not apply, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, all right, replaces that law of sin and death. All right, so there I am no longer disqualified. That's what that word condemnation is talking about, all right? I'm no longer disqualified. Yes? So you're starting to speak it to yourself. Thank you, Jesus. I am no longer disqualified. There is no longer any condemnation for me because I'm in Christ Jesus. All right? For the scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. All right? I speak the truth of that to myself. All right? I am made just like my master. Is that right? I speak it to myself. I am renewing my mind. All right? I'm allowing God to take the truth of his word and imprint it into my soul. I'm praying it in. Does that make sense? I'm having to work with you like this because I need you to see this because I'm gone. All right? Monday, I catch a flight and I'm out of here. You have to work with it. And it has to start now. And part of what I'm doing is intentional because I know where you're going. All right? And the second session will get you ready for moving in the supernatural. But if you don't see this with your soul, you will never see it with the supernatural. Your mind has to think like a supernatural being. If you think like a natural being, you will not operate in the supernatural. Come on. Work with me. Is that right? So, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So when I go out of here, the law of sin and death does not apply to me. The law of sin and death does not apply to me. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that means when the Holy Spirit comes into me, he's going to give life to my mortal bodies. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. All right? If the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. I am expecting physical help by the Holy Spirit coming into me. Is that right? I'm speaking that life into me. Now, it has to be by faith, otherwise it's not going to work. All right? If it's not by faith in your heart, nothing is going to change. Jesus has paid the price for the entire world. That doesn't change where they're at. Because they haven't put their faith in it. As soon as they put their faith in it, something changes. They are transferred from one kingdom into another. Is that right? And that one kingdom has a law in place, which is the law of sin and death. The other kingdom has a different law in it. A supernatural law that changes the way we operate. Christians Christians should be the people who should be talking the most. Talking to themselves, training themselves, thinking about what they are, who they are, how they operate. Do you follow what I'm saying to you? Is it becoming clear when we're talking about renewing the mind, it's a very practical process. I am no longer subject to that habit. I refuse to accept that as my way of life. Satan, you have no authority over me. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me. I receive that cleansing and I apply it into my life. I apply the blood of Jesus into my life. Now I have hid your word in my heart that I might not sin. Everything about me is going to be different. I'm going to break this habit and I'm going to walk out of it. We may be born again, as I said before, but it is only when we renew our minds that we break those habits and we live differently. I had the habit of losing my temper. I had the habit of being a glutton. I had the habit of whatever it is. Now I am saying no. I've set my mind. And even though my emotions are saying, I'm saying no. I'm training you to follow me. All right? Does that make sense? And then there are times when you will have to fast to get even deeper into the spiritual realm for certain things to be completely cracked. All right? Does that make sense? But we are not giving in. This is what Paul is saying when he says, I buffet my body. I'm training myself. He is keeping everything in control because he knows what he is called to. And he also knows that Satan will use any place of weakness to break you. If you think that the devil can kill you, you will open the door for him to do so. When George talked about 120 years, you know that thought went ding and bounced. We just didn't hear the ding so loudly, but it surely bounced because people say 120 years, no way. I'll be glad to get past 60. Or I'll be glad to make it to 70. How effective do you want to be? I had a man who said to me, this is an unsaved man. He was 30. He said, I enjoy funerals more than weddings. He said, I'm 30, I'm old. I said, you're 30 and you're old. Come on. And then I heard of people who were Christians who had a similar sort of thought process. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus causes life into my body that means that I am not subject to the things that the world teaches me. I want to be effective. If Moses could be effective at his age, why can't we? Why can't we? And why do we limit this? The scope of what God can do in our lives is huge. I speak to older people. I say, come on, why are we stopping? Why are we quitting? There is no need to quit. Let's go out of this place on fire. Achieving everything that God has for us. Let's not think like old people. Let's think like young people. You know, there are times when I'm with some young people, and it's only after a while that I realize I'm not their age. It's because when they start to do the run or whatever it is, and I think, I'm not going to catch up with you. But I have a mindset that thinks like they do. All right? Now, that mindset is going to change the way my physical body will operate. Does that make sense? Okay, we're almost at the end of this session to do with the soul, but I'm hoping that you can see this. Let's name some areas. I would like you to name some areas. I'm not assuming that they are your areas, but things that you've seen that need a renewal. Anybody?
We know that sins are forgiven, but you know, once more, shame has been taken away.
Okay, so let's just deal with the shame, all right? Does God shame us?
No.
So let's just take the, there is therefore now no condemnation, all right? And use it to deal with the shame. All right? Father, you are not ashamed of me. All right? There is therefore no condemnation. The cleansing work of the conscience cleanses every part of the conscience so that I am not somebody who walks in shame. So, Father God, I thank you for the cleansing of the blood that gets down to my conscience and removes every stain in the conscience, so nothing that is produced is a dead work. And a dead work is what? Something that tries to, in this particular case, tries to hide the shame. I live the lie. I pretend I am somebody who I'm not. I don't have to pretend anything. I am who he says I am. And when somebody says, I know you, you say that, yes, you were right. I was involved with that. But the blood of Jesus cleanses me. I am washed and I am cleansed. We sing it. Now let's just speak it to ourselves. All right? I'm washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. There is no more shame in my life. I refuse to accept shame as part of my living. My conscience has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Now, it doesn't happen by you thinking. I'm watching your faces, and very few of you are using your mouths. You have to use your mouths. All right, this is a workshop. You have to use your mouths. Smiling at me doesn't help. As I keep saying, I'm going to be gone. You're going to be here. You have to use your mouths. I am no longer going to live with shame. I choose to believe the blood has cleansed my conscience. My conscience is going to be speaking good things to me. Is that right? You allow the word to cleanse you, to bring you to the place where it's over. Anything else? Anybody else? Okay, self-righteousness is there because of what? Your thought that that's a dead work. It's you trying to justify yourself, not accepting the grace of God. All right? And, you know, that process will require you saying, Father God, reveal to me yet again the grace of God. All right? Let that grace touch a place that's so deep so that I understand what mercy really did for me, what grace really achieved for me. All right? Let me pick an area, you know, I don't know whether you've ever had this, but in an employment situation where everything you touch fails. All right? And you think, what is it? You know, what is it about me that everybody else seems to succeed and I don't? All right? Well, you're taking that word again and you are saying, no, God shows me favor. God shows me favor for a lifetime. Is that right? I agree, Father God, that every step I take, I will be taking that step with favor. I'm expecting favor to come to me. I'm expecting favor to move through me. I'm expecting your wisdom to affect the way I operate. All right? Because I've been made like you. Does that make sense? I'm expecting success Joseph had a success way in him. Now, let me just say this, all right? Success doesn't come without hard work. I tell my kids, faith is worded hard work. Faith is worked out in hard work. If you're not diligent, you're not going to work. You imagine Joseph's first job, all right? He's now a slave, and his first job was to clean the loos. I remember going to Yugoslavia, and it was Austria, Yugoslavia, and various places in Europe on a road trip with Dave Monroe. Some of you may know Dave Monroe, it doesn't matter. So we were on this road trip, and we came to this place that was a campsite. We drove in, and we all, for whatever reason, went to the loo, and it was a bomb site. It was like the people had no idea where to do. I'm sorry to be graphic, but that was the... We got straight back into the van, the cars, and drove out. But imagine this guy. That's his first job. Now, if he was a lazy chap or a fellow who had a mood, would he have been noticed by anybody? He got that broom out and he swept and he cleaned that loo. And when somebody walked in, whichever supervisory slave was that walked in, they went, "Oh my word, what have you done?" And he dug drains and he made all sorts of things operate. And he said, "Well, we can now have loos with flowing water." And there was flowing water in loos. What a remarkable idea. This is my imagination, excuse me. I'm not suggesting that's in the scriptures. But can you see that would get the attention? And they said, "Man, can you do anything like this with the cattle?" And he said, "Sure, I'll deal with the cattle." And he moved on to the cattle. And before you knew, the cattle were like, "Man, we've been losing cattle left, right, and center. Here they are, their feet are perfect, everything's working properly." And then he moves on to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. It applied diligence. Yes? But he had an attitude that was an attitude of favor. I have favor upon me. The Lord is with me. All right? And because the Lord is with me, I will succeed in this. I will win over this. I will overcome. I will get divine ideas. I will break through in this area of my workplace. All right? Because favor is upon me. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? All right? We've covered quite a lot of ground. I'm hoping that you can now use that. All right? Has that been helpful from a practical point of view? So now you see this process of the renewing of your mind. That's the connection between your mouth and your soul. You're training your soul to think differently. All right? Do you want to stretch your legs for a minute whilst I get myself ready for the second part?